Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. I think everyone must be out enjoying the sunshine for today. I keep getting these reports that it's going to snow again. And I'm you're hearing the same thing. All I can say to... Okay, it can snow up in the mountains all that it wants. All I can say to my husband is, welcome back to Wyoming. This is what spring looks like. Remember it now? It's starting to look familiar? 70 degrees today, snowing tomorrow. That's how it goes, but it's all gift. So a few announcements. Our food pantry volunteers tomorrow are Shirley Gorman, Linda Morgan, and Mary Lett. We have Bible study here at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. You'll notice it no longer says a purpose-driven life. It took us a year, a bit more than a year, but we finally made it through the purpose-driven life. And so for Bible study this coming Tuesday, we're asking that people bring their three top favorite psalms so that we can discuss them and look into them a little bit more deeply. So if you want to come and join us on Tuesday, bring a psalm or two or three. For some of us, it's hard to narrow it down to three, but it should be an interesting discussion. On Wednesday, we have Youth Night and Confirmation. And looking ahead to next Sunday, 2 p.m. is our council meeting. This is the first Sunday of May. How is it May already? But it is. So it means that today is the day that we acknowledge birthdays and anniversaries. I don't see any anniversaries, but I do see a number of birthdays. May 7 is Kevin Bettinger. May 9 is Tracy Johns. May 15, Michelle Lofgren. May 24, Scott Huseth. And May 27, Colleen Payne. Am I missing any birthdays? So let's pray for those who have birthdays in the month of May. The good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of life and for all the other gifts that you've given us. We ask that you bless these individuals with May birthdays. Walk beside them during the course of the upcoming year, whatever they may encounter. May they know that you go with them in all things. And so we ask blessings upon them on their special day and throughout the course of the year. And we ask all things in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do we have any other announcements we need to take care of? If not, I invite you to stand as you're able for the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your heart through faith. Amen. And let us join together in our gathering song, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. It is number 377. And can I also have someone volunteer to be our acolyte and light our candles for us as we sing?
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Eternal and all-merciful God, With all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to mix things up a little bit here today. I received a nice thank you note from the Senior Center for home-delivered meals, and they wish to thank everybody who volunteered and taking your time to deliver the meals. It's very much appreciated. Signed, Cindy Moldenhauer. Thank you.
I think we should thank Pete for organizing and getting everybody to do it. It takes a lot of calling around and begging.
Begging, that's the word. We had some very good volunteers this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing them back next year with some additional people. It's a very enjoyable experience. Even this is first year for you, Pastor.
First year for me, yeah.
And you had said this morning that it go ahead.
It definitely gives you an insight into the need for this service when you see people waiting at the door for their meals and others who cannot get to the door, having their containers outside. I always wondered why there were so many containers outside people's front door. Now I know why. It is a very much needed service in this community.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 9. Saul, who was later called Paul, was an ardent persecutor of all who followed the way of Christ. This reading recounts the story of his transformation beginning with an encounter with Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound back to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him much. He must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 30 responsively. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the faithful. Give thanks to the Holy Remembrance.
God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning.
While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, be my God. I will give you thanks forever.
Second reading is from Revelations chapter 5. In this, the vision of John, recorded in Revelation, offers a glimpse of cosmic worship around the throne. At its center is the Lamb who was slain. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You'll see that I chose as a title for my sermon, "Joy Comes with the Morning." And we heard that in our psalm today, Psalm 30. So Psalm 30 is a psalm of David, and a lot of David's songs talk about difficulties he's encountered with a variety of enemies. And this enemy that he talks about appears to be an illness from which he's recovered. He says, "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you've lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave." This sounds familiar, doesn't it? These are things that many of us have encountered. And so he touches on that experience that we've all had. And then he says, "Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance." And then this interesting verse 5, "God's wrath is short, God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends a night, but joy comes in the morning." And that really is the crux of the entire psalm. But the psalmist goes on and says, "While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed. You, Lord, with your favor made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear." So he's describing how he was a little bit overconfident, and then something happened, and he felt that God had turned God's face from him. And that caused him to cry out, "I cry to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? So, O Lord, what good will it do if I die? Wouldn't it be better for me to live and praise you? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper." And then you've turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. So it's a really interesting psalm talking about a restoration and talking about the need for God. That sometimes we feel as though God has hidden God's face from us. But the reality is that joy comes with the morning. The difficulty is taking that literally, of thinking that just because you've had a difficult night, spending it crying and just filled with sorrow, that when the morning comes and the sun is up, that everything is going to be all right again. Because we know that's not true. That sometimes there are day upon day upon day that will go by until we finally find that joy has returned. And that is what I believe that the disciples were experiencing in our gospel lesson today. This is the third time we're told that these disciples have seen the risen Christ. And for some reason, they don't recognize him. They also don't recognize what they're supposed to do now that Jesus has been resurrected. We know that they have been hiding out for fear that the authorities are going to come after them and kill them as well. So here they finally come out from hiding. And what do you do when you're still wondering what you should be doing with your life? When you don't know what you should be doing with this day? Well, they do the obvious thing, don't they, Dean? Which is what? You go fishing. You go fishing. Isn't that right? Don't you do that? You know, what else do I do with today? I think I'll go fishing. What they're doing is returning to the life that they knew. Because they don't seem to understand that now that Jesus has been raised from the dead, their lives are changed. They seem to have forgotten all the things that he told them during the time that he was with them. All of those things about going out and taking care of people and preaching the message, they've forgotten it. And instead they go fishing. They return to their old ways of life. And we see what happens. And that is that they catch nothing as they try to do things their own way. And so they fish all night and get nothing. But in the morning, they see a figure out there on the beach, and they see a charcoal fire. And they don't recognize who this individual is, but he says, you have no fish, right? And they say, no, we don't. And so he tells them what to do. He's telling fishermen what to do. We've heard this before in another gospel where this is how he calls the disciples. He tells fishermen how to do their job. It's daytime, not the time when they normally fish. They normally fish at night because then you can sell the catch fresh in the morning, and also perhaps you can not be noticed by those people who are going to be collecting taxes for the fish that you catch. So he tells them to cast the net to the right side of the boat, and they listen to him and have a great catch of fish. And it was then that somebody recognizes that it is Jesus. And Peter puts on some clothes, probably just has a linen wrap around himself, and he puts on clothes, which is not normally what we do, but he does so and jumps into the sea, but the others decide to take their time and bring the fish in with them. When they go ashore, they see a charcoal fire. There's already fish there, and there's bread. But Jesus asked them to add part of the fish that they have caught. And they haul the net ashore, filled with large fish. And they eat breakfast. Breakfast on the beach with Jesus. I have to wonder what they talked about as they were having breakfast with Jesus. Because they seem to have a strained relationship with him. They don't really recognize him as being the person that they have spent so much time with. He seems to have been changed somehow because of his experience of dying and being resurrected. And then he has a conversation with Simon Peter. And what seems to be going on here is a return to John chapter 18. It is the other place that we find a charcoal fire and Peter present. Remember what happens there at that charcoal fire? He denies him three times. That's exactly what happens. Three times he says, I don't know him. And here, three times around a charcoal fire, Jesus asks, do you love me? He begins, do you love me more than these? And I don't think more than these means more than these fish. Or even, do you love me more than you love these disciples? But do you love me more than they love me? And his response is, yes. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, how does Jesus know that Peter loves him after his denial? You see, Jesus doesn't come and condemn Peter. You know, remember what you did around that other charcoal fire? He doesn't do that. Instead, he gives him an opportunity to redeem himself. And he says a second time, "Do you love me?" And again, he's able to say yes. And the third time, "Do you love me?" And now he feels hurt. Jesus doesn't say, "Well, don't you think I felt hurt when you said what you did about me?" Instead, he lets him say what he has to say. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And each of the times that Simon Peter responds, "Yes, I love you," Jesus gives him the same task: to tend the sheep, to feed the sheep. He reminds him what his mission is supposed to be: to go out there and spread the news. But he also tells him how he's going to die. And tradition has it that he dies just in this way: upside down, crucified. And that it was his choice to be crucified upside down because he didn't think himself worthy to die in the same way as his Lord. So we see here a reminder of what has gone on before the crucifixion and resurrection, and how life changes. We see here that for these individuals, joy indeed has come with the morning. Because with the morning, they've encountered Jesus once again, who has reminded them what their mission is, what their duty is as disciples of the risen one. And so on this third Sunday of Easter, I want us to just pause a little bit and to imagine ourselves face to face with Jesus. And he asks each one, "Do you love me?" And how do you respond? And then what does he tell you to do if you say, "Yes, Lord, I love you"? How are you to take that message of love to the world? How has your life changed now that you have the joy of relationship with the risen Christ? How do you bring that into a world that doesn't know Christ or doesn't find him to be relevant? How do you show that you love him? By loving the world. Amen. So let us sing together our hymn of the day. It's number 798. "Will you come and follow me?"
Thank you.
let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need.
Your love sustains the church and its ministries. By that love, equip your youth directors, Sunday school teachers, and all who guide formation in the church to nurture vibrant, living faith among your people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Your abundance is made known throughout creation. Preserve oceans and rivers, lakes and estuaries, so that all creatures living in them might flourish. Make us wise stewards of our local watersheds. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Your wisdom guides all who strive for justice and peace. Strengthen the work of grassroots organizers, especially among communities on the front lines of justice work. Amplify the voices of those most in need, that their leadership guides the way forward. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Your compassion surrounds all who are in need. We pray for all people experiencing poverty and food insecurity, and for all struggling with debt and economic uncertainty. Reassure all who experience hopelessness or need your tender care. We pray especially for those who are on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
You invite all people to your table of grace. Make this a community of radical hospitality where all feel loved and celebrated. Show us how to better welcome visitors and bless the ministries of hospitality in this place. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We praise you for the witness of your saints of all times and places, especially those we name aloud from the quietness of our hearts. May their lives of faith guide us in our own journeys with you today and every day. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. And instead of passing the offering plates, if you've got an offering, I'll just ask that you bring it up after church is over. But let us sing our offertory song, give thanks. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, body and blood of Jesus Christ, O Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory,
now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. And because this is the first Sunday of the month, we will be doing communion after this.
Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
And as you go out, God's love. Receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Let us sing together our ascending song, Hallelujah, Sing to Jesus, number 392. Let's just sing the first three verses.
Thank you.